People of the world, it's the Brothers Talk family with your hosts, Rod, Scott, and Norm. Join us each Friday wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts or on our website to hear us three black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, giving voice to the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. You can reach us with your comments, questions, and suggestions at The Brothers Talk on Twitter, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and the Facebook group of the same name. And also follow us on Facebook. And if you want to share in more detail, hit us up at the email address, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. Stay tuned for our soon-to-launch YouTube channel, and now on with this week's show. Hello again, worldwide Brothers Talk family. As we greet you in the car, the gym, the den, kitchen, barber, or beauty shop, in the backyard, on the corner, or wherever you hold your relevant conversations to spur critical thinking and activism to support the Black community. As always, welcome to our first-time listeners as you join us in keeping the fight going to lift up the critical thought process with enlightened conversations while promoting new and existing Black business opportunities to empower and enrich our community. This week in coronavirus, we heard that there's some encouraging news on managing the pandemic with new variant-specific vaccines, but once again, our government is mismanaging the communication process, and the vast majority of the population haven't heard the news. No surprise there, though, because we're still having trouble getting way too many people vaccinated in the first place. But we'll keep being reminded that COVID is still here. It's still extremely infectious, still very deadly, still killing over 500 people a day as we approach the third year of its existence. So again, please get vaccinated if you haven't already, and please stay vigilant in avoiding both people and situations where you might be exposed. Don't get complacent. Don't let your guard down. And as you go about your daily routine, keep wearing your mask and keep taking necessary precautions while you're out and about, regardless of what you see other folks doing, because we just still can't spare any of our loved ones. And now to my brothers in the struggle for critical thinking, Scott and Norm.
Hey, family. As usual, thank you for your continued support. Just want to kind of piggyback on what Rod just talked about in terms of the pandemic. I know if you watch 60 Minutes, the president said that the pandemic was over, but we're still dealing with COVID. And I know people who are close to me. Over the last 3 weeks, I know four people who are vaccinated, and they've had boosters, and they still got the virus, and they're struggling with it. So that's from a personal experience. You got to still take care of yourself. I wear my mask anytime I go into a public place, no matter what. A lot of times I'm the only person with the mask on, and folks kind of, they look at me, but they're accustomed to it now. So protect yourself and protect your loved ones and support Black businesses.
Yeah, and just to, again, reiterate, just because, you know, you may survive COVID, there are lingering issues for many of us from it. So please, you know, take this seriously, because even if you survive, you may carry something else for the rest of your life.
In our topic this week, why are the wheels of justice turning so slowly for some while ever so swiftly for others? Well, let's get real. We're talking about the most basic examples of racism and classism. White people who are rich and powerful can both intimidate and play the so-called justice system, while people with color are dispensed at an alarming rate. Whether it's the pretrial intervention that so many white people get, meaning they get to go into consultation with the prosecutor and avoid standing before a judge and jury, or they have the reputation of the big banks, which was too big to fail, and can simply see charges against them get reduced or go away altogether because of their status in society. There's absolutely no doubt that it's an unfair system that doesn't even try to hide the double standard. While this isn't breaking news of any sort, and we know that when the law goes after a big fish, like the 45th occupant of the White House, it's a slow process. What we really can't abide is the situations like Matt Gaetz, an accused pedophile and sex trafficker who is still not only not indicted or arrested despite a bundle of evidence, including the testimony of his co-conspirator who pleaded guilty. Then there's the absolute lack of activity that we've seen around those like Uncle Clarence's wife, who's guilty as sin of fomenting treason, with the FBI holding plenty of evidence of her both communicating and funding efforts to overthrow the government on January 6th. It's just one more example of how the system is based on a racist platform, and until something is done to really acknowledge that, it's not going to get any better.
You know, Rod, we talked about this, and I'm just not understanding why we seem to be the only ones who are paying attention and who see what's going on here. In my opinion, the country should be in outrage. It should be protesting, going, wait a minute. Just based on the evidence that we know, and we're not in law enforcement, I'm not a lawyer, but based on the evidence that's been reported thus far, there at least should be, somebody should be indicted, or there should be some crime. We're talking about going on over 2 years in some of these cases. And the evidence that for 45, it's just overwhelming. My thing is, you can't have both ways. You can't say no one is above the law and then say, well, you know, because, you know, he's an ex-president, we got to treat him differently. Or because he's a congressman, we got to treat him differently. But you, at the same time, they're saying no one is above the law. Which one is it? Just say, hey, if you become a congressman or a senator, if you become a president, you basically can do what the hell you want to do. Like 45 said, I can shoot somebody. I can kill somebody on Main Street or in Manhattan, wherever he said he can do it at. And I wouldn't go to jail. Nobody would convict me. And I believe that. And I think most people believe that now when they look and see what's going on in the country with the justice system. And you got one guy who's basically has a bullhorn, and he's single-handedly almost destroying democracy. Against how strong is the government?
I don't think it's really their political positions that they're hiding behind. I think they're really hiding behind the fact that they're wealthy white people, and the system was designed actually to protect them, which is why they're not being held accountable for any of their actions. And right now, my favorite topic has to be the former quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, Brett Favre, who literally stole money, federal dollars, from a nonprofit, and basically money that was supposed to go to poor people in his state, and literally, you know, hasn't been charged at all. And other people have pleaded guilty that he conspired with, just like Ron mentioned. But the system was designed to protect these people, which is why they're not being held accountable.
And I definitely agree with you, Norm, because we know that if Barack Obama had been doing any of the things that 45 has done, the wheels of justice wouldn't be moving so slowly. We know for a fact that if it was Maxine Waters, because we've seen former Black congresspeople who the Justice Department went after, like Alcee Hastings, you know, and basically drummed them out of their offices. And so it is about racism. I can't stress that enough, because we see the parallels of why we really do need to have CRT, the critical race theory, which shows the connection between race and the financial and legal system, because it's been a 403-year pattern. And so when you see these people who still try to come out and try to claim that things like the Civil War were not about enslavement, but that it was about economics, well, yeah, they're right. But the economics was based on slavery. And so that's the kind of system that we're dealing with. And we have to constantly be aware that until there is some form of study that shows this, that racist system is protected because it's ingrained in the flag.
You know, for people who are not aware or who are not thinking on that level, you can go into any courthouse, in this country, and let's say you're going in there for a speeding ticket. I promise you, I guarantee, if you go into almost any, not in a, you know, a homogeneous type community where, you know, there's just no one but white people, but if you go into a court system, I promise you 90% of the folks in there who are getting fines or going before the judge for speeding tickets, they're going to be black. It's going to be a few Hispanics or Mexicans sprinkled in there. And that in itself should say to you, because every time I went, when I had a speeding ticket and I challenged it, it's like, oh my God, black people, we're the only ones speeding in here. And the thing is, some of the judges who are presiding over those cases are black. And they have to see that, you know, there's some disparities here and nobody's saying nothing about it. It's the same thing. You got, look at all these guys who participated. And we know who a lot of them are. They're on video, you know, who are encouraging the 9/11 riots. And none of them have been charged.
I mean, January 6th, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, January 6th, right? Yeah, and none of them have been charged. You know, there are guys who, their names come up quite often, who are congressmen, and still, nothing. But we know what they did. To me, that's just, why aren't people in the street protesting or at least saying something about that? How do you go about getting something on the ballot? And that should be kind of a rallying cry for Democrats, that we're demanding equal justice for everybody in this country. No man is above the law. And where are the Democrats on that?
Scott, I just wanted to confirm something you just said here. I have a friend, a Caucasian friend, who decided to fight his speeding ticket. And he went to court and he literally told me he was the only white person in the courtroom that night in his town. And he saw it and he literally came to me with that. So if he can see the racism, they can see the racism.
To me, it's a bilateral affair, meaning that racism isn't just a Republican conservative thing. It may be more blatant in Republican conservatives, but it is just as present in white liberals. And I think the reason why, to your question, Scott, why you don't see people out in the streets protesting about it is, one, the media itself is controlled by white folks, whether they be Republican or liberal. And at the end of the day, they're trying to protect their position. And so to point out that they have had this unfair advantage for 403 years in the back of their minds means that something might happen that would keep their children and grandchildren from having that same unfair advantage. And so that's why I don't see them taking the initiative to really point out the truth, because they always see the gains that we and other people with color get as something that they must, in essence, give up. It's for them a zero-sum situation. And so that very fact alone says to me that they are only going to pay lip service at best to wanting to come up with a system that part of reparations is about justice and fairness. But if it means that they somehow think that it's going to mean justice and fairness for them as well, then they're not willing to embrace that concept.
You know, I can't disagree with that, Rod. But where are the black folks? I mean, I can't be the only person who noticed that when you get a traffic ticket, you go to traffic court. Like you said, Norm, your white friend saw it immediately, and I get other black people who are in there paying tickets, they have to say, wow, you know, or they're just assuming that black people are the only ones who are breaking the law and who are not necessarily breaking the law, who are speeding and getting traffic tickets. But on another note, when you start talking about what you were talking about, Rod, that people want to hold their positions, or think that one day they may be a 45, you know, because of the color of their skin. But how long do they hold out for those kind of hopes when a lot of them are getting crushed just like, you know, black folks and poor blacks? It's like poor people are getting crushed. It doesn't matter and they don't realize that it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, or whatever. If you're poor, you're getting crushed by the system. The system is not designed for you. And I'm just Where are their advocates?
And if you look at the prison system, this is all connected. You know, the prison system design is profitable to run on the blood, sweat, and tears of especially Black people. But now there are other people of color who are involved. But literally, this is a for-profit industry, and it's all tied together here.
And so that is the answer to your question, Scott, that it is not under wraps. They've talked about the fact for the last 40 years that the prison industrial complex has been disproportionately a system that has locked up people with color, particularly us Black people. We make up nearly 50% of those in prisons, while only being, as they say, even if we use this, the census, of 14% of the population, while the FBI says that we don't commit crimes at any greater rate, while the FBI says, but we're incarcerated at rates that are between 8 and 12 times more than white people, while we don't represent any segment of the population that commits any of criminal acts in greater percentage than our white counterparts. So that statistic has been out there for a while. They've known it's been out there, and people do talk about it. But I go back to my contention, which is that talking about it is one thing. Doing something about it will require that you have folks who are ready to belie their own belief, which is they think that somehow we would be given something that they, quote unquote, had earned, or that they were entitled to. That's even a better way to put it, that they believe they're entitled to it by their God-given whiteness. And if it is given to us, somehow it's something that they have to lose.
You know, again, I hear where you're coming from, but where are the, if the data is out there, because the data is there, you know, you can go look at the Bureau of Labor, the justice system, go on their website and take a look and see who are committing the violent crimes and who are committing the murders. And you're going to find out that it's not what you think it is. It's definitely not Black folks. But yet the data's out there, and there's this unequal justice system here that we're witnessing is right in front of our eyes. And just like the people we talked about who go to pay a traffic ticket and they're only Blacks in there, the data's there. Who are the advocates for these poor people? The representatives are supposed to be looking out for these poor people and the underserved communities. But who are there? There are no advocates there. Who's advocating for them?
Scott, poor people don't have a lobby. Poor people don't have fundraisers. They're going to represent who has the money. And that's how it's going to work in a capitalistic society. And that's how it works here. Even with the CBC, we don't have representation because they're representing the dollar. Everyone else can wait.
And I'll go back to what I said before, though, that it is much more racist than it is economic, because the PTI program, the pretrial intervention, works as well for poor whites as it does for the upper crust and rich whites. Who it does not work for are Blacks and other people of color, which is why you get us incarcerated at such high rates. And so we have to keep our eye on the ball, and we'll have to continue to be the voice as we can. And hopefully that others will pick up the cause of noting that it is a racist system that needs to be undone. In our Black Business Spotlight, meet Deonta Rose, a 28-year-old engineer and entrepreneur who has opened his own grocery outlet supermarket worth $5 million within a new development in his former neighborhood in Philadelphia. Rose, who studied at Morgan State University, was originally one of the engineers working to design stores for Grocery Outlet, a California-based retailer that has over 400 stores nationwide. upon seeing that his old neighborhood in the Sharswood section of North Philadelphia is on the list of future store locations, he thought it would be a good opportunity to own it. That's when he used his own savings and secured a loan to buy a franchise of the store. Being conveniently located in the neighborhood where he mostly grew up, he's very familiar with it. He's aware that before he opened the store, there had been no major supermarkets there since the 1960s, and the closest one was nearly a mile away. So he worked with his grandparents as a kid, and his dad and his sisters are now working with him, so it's a family business. So good looking out for someone who recognized the idea of a food desert down in the North Philadelphia area. That's a wrap for another program, and God willing, we'll keep our focus on the issues that impact our community on the path to a better future. Don't forget, you can follow and communicate with us, sending your comments, questions, and show ideas to The Brothers Talk on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. Until the next time, as always, we sincerely appreciate your time and interest, and rest assured that we'll never take it or you for granted. And remember, let's do better today, because that's all we really have.